Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Forever Dog.
Last episode of the Goody Goody, Sabrina and Patty Harrison talked about this.
He's like, I got my little paper windmill, Daddy.
And this.
I'll decide what all your art is. That's what this podcast is about. I compliment the art and then I tell people what it's really about.
And rejoin the conversation here.
How old were you when you were like, I'm transitioning? I'm like, not.
23. I mean, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It was like,
I guess you had really supportive family, right?
Yeah, but my family was really.
And probably were aware great. All forever.
Yeah. Oh, it was like an I told you so sort of thing. Yeah. But like, They were great. They, of course, you know, we had a lot of talks. No one's like infallible. And there was a lot of like conversations. And it is like when you come out as trans, there's a lot of like you immediately everyone around you is demanding you produce on the spot this manifesto that legitimizes your experience on this earth, like your gender, like why do you believe you're a woman? What makes you think you're a woman?
And when you say people, it's just like everybody.
Every person wants to know, like you have to immediately have this like your identity figured out. And I'm like, nobody has that. Like nobody, no matter your gender, like if you were asked on the spot to just like explain who you are in every capacity, like on like and what it means, what it like it's just such a
wow.
So true.
I hated that. I hated the echo because then it sounds like it's coming from like hell or
you
like
know,
some
we
sort
started
of like
this podcast
HP
with
Lovecraft
you
space.
I thought you didn't understand my sound effect. Then I played it again. Then you did.
Now
here we are and you just sound effect after sound effect. It's not good enough.
Can I just say, I've hated every single one of your sound effects. They have shaken me they've shaken me down my spinal column.
Just for that, we're going to close this podcast out with you only being cued by my sound effects. Tell me what the
Hollywood scoop.
Tell me what the Hollywood scoop is. You've been living in Hollywood for how long?
Since January.
Okay, and what's the scoop? What have you learned here?
I've learned that...
Genuine lesson. Give me a genuine lesson.
I've learned...
Little Pudunky Belunku is moving from Columbus, Ohio. She arrives today. Pudunky is just a bright-eyed, half-Vietnamese, cutie little trans girl just ready to hit the scene. What do you tell Pudunky?
I'm going to tell Pudunky that it may seem, you know, kind of vapid, kind of shallow at first, but there are parts of Los Angeles that are genuinely beautiful and there is community here, but you have to keep pushing yourself a little harder than you would necessarily in New York because it's pretty easy to buy into the laid, chill back, green juice, moon juice sort
of
vibe.
You got to push past the sunshine and the palm trees.
Yeah, you
got to
keep motivating yourself. But if you are able to do that, then it really is a nice place to be. And that it's really, you know, make quality time with your friends because that really helps too. And like, there's a lot of people here who are, you know, here to be in the industry. It's like everyone here is like a lot of people you interact with, any like service employee, any person on the street, any sort of like, it can be hard to get away from that. So making time with friends who aren't doing that, who don't have those aspirations, I guess, is always really nice and resetting, I think.
Do you have some friends like that?
I do. I have some friends.
What
from
are their jobs?
Here.
Tell me.
I have a friend who is a she's a senator. What? She's running for president.
What?
And then I have a friend who imprisoned pedophile and she is also a serial killer, and she was a spy, and she was also head of Blackwater for like 5 years. And so those are two friends that have like no desire to do
those
acting.
Those are your golfing buddies.
Comedy, yeah. I entered a golf tournament with them. And we actually lost to you and Patricia Heaton, which is such a
as
bummer.
You should. And the next topic?
Deals, 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 deals. Deals, 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 yeah, deals, deals.
Is that your voice?
Yeah, bitch.
Deals.
Tell me your deals. Do you have a deal?
Do I have a deal?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like coupons, discounts. I told you about Scott's Cheap Flights. I've talked about it every single podcast. They are not a true sponsor, but if they want to be.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think
of... Are you
good
at money? Saving money?
No, I'm really bad. But I was trying to think of if... I literally was like, is there a place that has like a cool oyster happy hour? But I don't really
Mermaid Inn in New York.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know any places in LA.
Well, if you're in New York, Mermaid Inn has a great oyster happy hour.
Damn.
And also, Côte Est in Highland Park has an oyster happy hour. Do you want to go with me?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
I would love that.
Slurping an oyster.
I love slurping that sea snot.
How old were you when you started appreciating an oyster?
Not like 2 years ago.
And don't you think you love it so much more because
you
had to earn that love, that it looked like a booger for so long, and then once you discovered it, you were like, I am an adult.
Yeah. No, yeah. It really is. It feels so sophisticated and like, ooh.
Lastly, you're gorgeous, so tell us.
And that's how you live forever, dog.
Give me a beauty tip.
Why did it end on like a really sad
vapid
note?
Oh, the end of the sound effect? I don't decide.
I don't know, beauty tip wise.
I asked you once if you flat ironed your hair and you said no.
No, I'm Asian. I just have straight hair.
That's really cool.
You have the best hair.
Fuck yeah. Tell me
more. I noticed that. Like, that was like one of the first things I noticed about you. I was like, your hair and your eyebrows and your eyelashes are so thick. And like...
Because
like,
I had a full mustache. That's what came first, was a full mustache that I started electrolysizing at 12.
I mean, I still have to get laser hair removal on my mustache. I have a mustache too.
I got a laser in my beard.
So,
it's coming.
Yeah, I'm Asian, so my hair is like straight. Dinner. I wish it were wavy. I wish
Take
I had
mine.
Like...
Let's switch.
You joke, but I fantasize about that. I have dreams about that.
Let's get oysters.
That.
Let's clip off our hair. Let's clip it on each other.
You see, that's...
I forgot before we left the topic, but I wanted to ask you, like, with... how do you feel about people passing and not owning... being trans, is that like a thing, or is that like, oh,
did
like,
you say, wait, in terms of travel, like, are you bringing it back to it, traveling,
not,
or just
not traveling
in general?
just in life, like, I mean, like, I would compare it for me of like someone who's like gay but not out at the office, I guess, in terms of safety, that's like a fully like understandable thing, but there's something beautiful to me about someone like you who's openly trans and openly successful and openly beautiful, and it's kind of redefining what people think about something that has been so misconceived.
Right. I mean, I have a long nuanced list of feelings about the idea of passing. I think passing...
Oh, she really took out a list.
I think it's the naughty, it's the wrong list. You learn that I'm Santa. That's how you learn that I'm Santa. Is like, oh, wrong list.
I have a long and nuanced list.
And then I pull out like a little like 5-shot pistol and I shoot you in your stomach 5 times.
Oh, no, I wish I never asked.
And yeah, and Wolfie's screaming in the other room and I'm like, I wish you didn't have to end this way. That's how Santa talks.
But you asked the forbidden question.
You asked the forbidden question. But by the way,
you think I'd be warm to it? I've got list
that I pull out my list about being passing.
But thanks for the hair, bitch. Oh,
thanks for the hair. I scalp you while you're still alive. Your dog, there's a beautiful dog sleeping in the bed that people can't see.
My mom is thrilled. My mom's laughing and clapping, jumps on your back like a little backpack.
Yeah, she's eating Funyuns. She's got a little snack pack. No, I'll say I think that the idea of passing is awful, especially in terms of, I just wish it weren't a thing. I wish it it just is such a deeply toxic,
concept. If you're in safety danger's way,
right?
Not safety's way, in danger's way.
That's the nuance of
yes.
it. Is that there's in my ideal world, passing wouldn't matter or be a thing, because there are a lot of antiquated ideas that I think are thrust upon trans people that are based on ideas made by cis people trying to understand what transness is.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember one of the first experiences I had with a medical professional was seeing an endocrinologist.
What do they do?
Hormones.
Okay.
And so seeing them about starting hormone blockers and stuff, but it was this, it's her job. She's a doctor and she works with a ton of trans women, and this is her life's work. And I went and saw her. This was when I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling her, walking in and her being okay, so you feel you're born in the wrong body. We're going to get you on board. And I was no, I don't feel like I'm born in the wrong body. I feel if anything, I was in terms of the idea of passing and safety and stuff, I was I've always been androgynous. I've always been super androgynous, low testosterone. It was always a thing.
My body was on board with my feelings.
Yeah. People on the street were harassing me, are you a fag or a dyke? I was always getting harassed. I've never not been harassed for the way that I looked. And so it was if anything, this is to my advantage now in terms of just being able to blend in and feel any sort of normalcy or safety, just walking to work or something, which I have to this day, I still don't have. I thought that's something that it would feel better. But even though people are like, oh, you can't tell. It's
tell is a weird thing too.
Yeah. It places so much value on people think they're complimenting you when they
say version for gay women. It's you're so pretty. You could be, you could have a boyfriend. It's what's
people thinking they're complimenting you to be oh, I could never tell you're trans. You look great. I could never tell. And it's oh, you look great. You don't look like what you are, because if you looked like what you are, that would be really bad and I would feel bad for you then. And that's how that's how passing is toxic, is that there are people that have more mesomorphic features or more AMAB features where their shoulders are broader, and it's things that become creates more distress, more body dysmorphia. When I was meeting this endocrinologist who was you were born in the wrong body, she literally said to me, you were born with an outie when you should have been born with an innie, and you were born with the wrong brain, you were born with all of these very antiquated ways to understand the idea of gender dysphoria or the transness, where I was no, I don't feel like I was born in the wrong body, I don't feel like I have the wrong brain, I feel. And she was so you're not trans. She immediately was oh. So and I had
for
to
me
like,
as a cis white lady, that's what I've decided what it has to feel like. So
yeah. And it was really stressful because it was not that it was her intention, but it felfelt gaslighting to make me question I guess am I not trans because I don't feel like my body's wrong? Am I not trans because I don't feel like my brain's wrong? And it was very, very interesting to be this is a medical professional that I have to get through in order to get my gender marker changed and to get my start doing hormones. It's all of that gender affirmation stuff. I think passing, when because the other side of the conversation is I've had a lot of I've had a lot of internal dialogues with myself about whether or not to get like facial feminization surgery or like to get these surgeries that would make me look more cis passing. Like, and like people have said like, oh, that's, I've seen other trans women around me get criticized for that because like trans women who are openly like, you know, vocal about the hypocrisies and the shit that like trans women have to deal with. And then when they go get facial feminization, it's like, oh, you preached all this stuff about like trans being beautiful and stuff, but then you went and you made yourself look like a cis woman to blend in. And I think I understand the impetus of like that message, but I also don't think that realistically considers the daily lived experience of like safety for trans people. Yeah. And I think passing is like,
and beyond that, like a safety thing get
for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, and, but there are people who can't pass and look cis, which I like, I, and yeah, in my ideal world, I wish that like, that was like not a thing. Like you could just do that and it would be fine. And like, it doesn't matter. Like it truly is so stupid to me that like it has to be a social construct because our society is a twisted, horrific, stinky piece of like shitty pepperoni. Like it's just like it sucks. It's like all bad. And like it's so, that's the nuance of that conversation that's hard to communicate.
Well, like
to
no one's allowed to feel whole aesthetically. Like that's the game of our society, no matter where you are or what you are. I was the last episode was with Naomi Ekperigin, and she was talking about, she was walking around with an umbrella, and I was saying like, whenever I see people with an umbrella, I'm always like, fuck, like you're trying to not be brown like me, you piece of shit. But then we were talking about how in India they like bleach their skin and like just all the different sort of like, it's just like obvious distractions and like taking, removing people from just feeling okay. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just feel good and okay?
I mean, I think umbrella stuff, there are people that have like,
I know,
melanin, like, or like sensitivity to skin cancer and stuff like that.
If you
like,
saw the things that they said to me when they walked by though.
What do they say?
You brown piece of shit. Okay. I'm just trying not to get like you.
Oh my gosh, Sabrina, that sucks.
And don't erase that from me.
Hollywood Scoop. Scoop.
Just hit a random button.
Hollywood Scoop.
Before we drift off onto this dirty boat that's going to take us into the sunset, we're sitting on my bed, but on the dock of a bay.
Sitting on the bed with the dog. There is a dog on the bed. I didn't want people to think I was like improv scene painting. There is a dog laying in the bed. Cowboy.
If people in this business found out that you improv scene painted, you'd be done for.
I'd be done for.
Patty's currently shooting a film.
Done for.
She stars across Edward Helms.
You can't say what it is or what it's about yet.
Okay, cool. I'll bleep that, but it's very exciting.
You don't have to bleep it, but
I can say what I said?
Well, I don't think I'm allowed to say the title or really talk about what
anything
the movie's
about. But it's cool that you're starring in a movie.
Is it
your first time starring in a movie?
It is it's my first time with like a lead role. I was in A Simple Favor. I had a very small role.
What
in that
was your
movie.
Role?
I played an assistant to a designer, and my name was Kiko. And
Kiko.
I'm in the movie for, I think, 3 full seconds.
And now you're in the movie for a whole movie.
A whole
Did
movie.
You do acting lessons?
No.
So.
No, I've
Me
never.
Neither. We're
I
just
took
like
an acting class in college that was like an acting warm up class that was absolutely psycho.
But acting is just being yourself in different scenarios, right?
I think that in this situation, it's been it's like a more grounded character. Like the character that I'm playing has like a sense of humor and is like kind of like sarcastic a little bit. So it's not a stretch. It's not like me playing like a cyborg ninja or
but
something.
But do you get the note to be? To calm down or pep it up?
Well, we've
I get the note to throw it away more.
What does that mean?
Just like, what the
fuck was I doing?
Don't put so much on it. Because like, my, what do you mean? I'm doing multicam, so it's like fun in front of an audience to be like, and then
ham it
I
up.
Did that. Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, can you calm down your face and everything about yourself?
I feel it. So I have this constant inner turmoil because I'm like, I never, sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm going so big. And then I watch it on camera and I was like, oh, I was being so boring and not, so then I go way too big and then I see it again and I'm like, so I don't know. This is like a role where I get to be more normal, mm-hmm. but I also, I guess, are more true to myself, but it's still definitely more earnest than I think I am in real life. But you, I mean, sitcom acting, I think is like, you're allowed to be hammy a little bit.
I think it's Betty.
Yeah, and you're good too. Whether you're hamming it up or not, you're funny.
You're funny. Is this how you want to end things?
No.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
Toe touch.
Touching my toe.
Okay, well, look, at the end of the day, all I got to say is I'm glad you're my friend, and I hope we eat those oysters.
I'm glad.
And I can't wait to see you as the star of a movie.
Thank you.
And we worked together on Big Mouth, and you were a highlight.
I bet you were going to act in something. You were a highlight, too.
I bet we'll act in something,
too. I was telling your mom. I was talking to your mom earlier, and I was like, she was a light in the room.
Ooh.
There were days when I felt stressed and was like, I felt just inadequate. I felt stressed because I was just tired and I felt not as funny as everyone else in the room, or like I felt like I wasn't keeping up because I was like exhausted. And then when I'd walk in and see your hat, like I was like, oh, Serena's here. It's gonna be a fun day. It truly is that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the like
writers' rooms are weird because it's there is so much time to be in your head if you're not like, if it's not like a topic or area that you're like, this is my thing to pitch on, which everything isn't.
Yeah.
And but, the good writers nice know that. And
about that room specifically is I think the EPs are really good about like, I think, understanding that some people kind of don't excel or it's like not their wheelhouse to be pitching on that. So they're like, okay, like there are some days when I'm like, oh, I feel like I don't know any of this thing. Like thing that we're talking about, so I'll like draw and they're like okay that I'm just like doodling while I'm like trying to figure
buttholes.
Yeah, that's like that's me like rebuilding my cells. It's like when you see like a spider that's like cleaning its
did
leg.
You ever think
after
you'd be an animator?
I would truly love to. No. I don't know if I could animate, but I would love to like
animated show where you
draw.
Could see the animators worked in the same floor and they all had bandages on their wrists.
What?
And it was not a great
is
show.
That
and
real?
I was like, yeah.
Wait, why? They're hand drawing everything? Where'd you fucking work?
Somewhere where they had bandages on their wrists and like we would be like just stinking up a script in this room and I'd be like, oh my God, these bandaged wrists people are going to have more bandages.
No, that sounds bad. Was it like a stop motion? Are you talking about a cartoon? It feels like if they're animating on a computer.
It was the original Lion King, if you must know.
Oh, yeah. That was hand drawn on napkins. I forgot with crayons.
Okay, guess what?
It's the circle. The circle of life.
It's time to.
Hit a strike, standing by.
Oh, come on!
Thank you so much for joining us on Opie and Anthony.
I'm Opie.
And I'm Anthony.
And you're gay.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Mom, you are sliding into the end of Patty Harrison's episode, and we talked about. Well, we talked about her transitioning, and we talked about death. Her father died when she was young. Your dad died not... How old were you when your dad died?
Oh, I was probably about 20. I was probably about 25. I was not that young. Plus, you know, my dad was never around because he stayed in Brazil while we moved back to Switzerland. So
how old were you when you... Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, my parents had emigrated to Brazil. And that's where I was born, from Switzerland. And my mom had three little girls 1 year apart each, approximately. And the youngest one, Heidi, was suffering from asthma. And the doctor said we should go back to Switzerland and spend a lot of time in the mountains. And that really helped. But
is that something they still do when people have asthma, send them to the mountains?
I know that when people have, for instance, tuberculosis, they usually have to go up in the mountains. The air is, I think, different and it's better for you.
Mm.
Yeah. So then we stayed in Switzerland and my father stayed in Brazil.
And he never came to visit Switzerland?
No, he never came. No.
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 To quote Wolfie, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, anyways... So I really grew up without a father anyways. So for me, it wasn't like a huge thing when he died, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you didn't really have that paternal relationship with him.
No. No.
No. Well, no. In the episode actually with Naomi, we were talking about, because she also had like an estranged relationship with her dad, but he would kind of pop in and out of her life and kind of made it seem like it was her fault. Like, well, you know, you don't keep in touch, which sucks.
Yeah, but how old was she when he died?
He didn't die. Naomi's dad is still alive. Patty's dad died when she was, I think, 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just interesting, life without a father. I mean, moms are so integral. Did you feel weird about it? Were you conscious of the fact that you had a different family?
Not, I mean, I knew, yes, but we didn't suffer. You know, we had, like, my aunt and my uncle lived in the same house and they had no kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my uncle spent a lot of time with us on weekends playing games and taking us fishing and stuff like that. So, no, I don't think we really, you know, it didn't affect us that much.
But there
I don't
was definitely,
think so.
Isn't there a thing in Switzerland? I feel like there's a thing where it's like there's a sense of normalcy. Like everyone is Swiss and everyone is like, this is the way you should be. You are definitely like someone that you were so different because I'm crazy and wild and will say things and do things that make you uncomfortable.
That's right.
And I think part of that is being Swiss, right?
I'm sure there's some crazy people there too.
Of course. You're
but,
one of them.
But, you know, I mean, I've told you about a few examples of people that I have, you know, met in the last few years and found out how they grew up in Switzerland and, you know, how poor they were and, you know.
But you're talking about class
life,
and poverty.
No, but also craziness, you know.
Which craziness?
Well, with, you know, the one that, you know, the father had married... You know,
oh, a lady that just left.
One
of your friends.
Yeah, the first one committed suicide, you know, and what happened to the father and, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we had a pretty normal upbringing in that sense.
No, but just the idea of normal, I think that's like generationally or definitely like, I feel like there is no normal. You know, in this episode with Patty, we were talking about transitioning and just the psychology behind passing. Passing means when a trans person, well, Patty passed for you because when Patty left, I said, it was talking about Patty's transition and you didn't know that she was trans.
No, I didn't know.
So that's called passing.
Uh-huh.
But Patty was talking about the negative effect of passing, which is that you are not representing trans people, that you're trying to fit into some idea of normal.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, really, when you think about what normal is kind of a dangerous idea.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think every classmate, when I was growing up, had a father. So we were a little bit different, you know. And maybe, I don't know if people talked about it or not, but, you know, we were a bit different, you know, a different family.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, I didn't really feel it that much, you know.
And what would your advice be to someone who is in that feels a bit different, which AKA everybody, like when you're feeling different?
Well, I guess it feels you would like to be quote unquote normal, the same as all the other people. But then when you look around, you see that everybody's different in a way, you know, in some way or another, everybody's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's the same. So that's life, I think, you know. We
but
have
recognizing
to have,
that is a good trick,
yeah,
like learning
have,
that early that
yeah.
that actually when you're feeling different or like you don't fit in, that's kind of how everyone could feel if the goal was fitting in.
Yeah, yeah.
The goal is being yourself. How do you say that in Swiss German? Be yourself.
Be yourself.
So there is no term. Be Swiss and be normal. Do you have something to say, Wolfie? You don't know
normal
how to say?
Normal sein.
No, you're saying to be normal.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying say in Swiss German, be yourself.
Du sollst dich selber sein.
Dich selber sein. And what about be your gay self?
Oh, I don't know about
you. Don't know the word gay in Swiss German?
Well, it's gay. It's lesbish. Lesbish?
Lesbish? Oh, my God. I thought lesbian was...
lesbish.
Dodo. Thank you for interviewing me, Wolfie.
He has
Dodo.
A dodo. You know what dodo is?
What is it?
Belly button.
Oh, dodo. In Swiss?
No, because he showed me with the hippo out there.
Oh, yeah?
Dodo, and then he showed me his own dodo.
Okay. So he's got his own kind of
language. Where's your dodo, Wolfie?
Dodo. Okay, lesbish is hilarious. And the name of my memoir. Thank you. All right, this baby's expiring. Thank you for listening.
Okay, see you again. Talk to you later.
And say it in Swiss German again. Be yourself.
Du sollst dich selber sein.
Ich sollst dich selber
sein. Du sollst dich selber sein. You should be yourself.
Sollst dich selber sein.
Yeah.
Gute Nacht.
Gute Nacht.
Adios.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.